There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So, Rachel, we're not alone in the studio, are we?
We are not. We have with us today Owen Henderson, who happens to be one of the people in my book Walrus Book Club, which makes him one of my favourite people in the world. Hello.
Young reviewer, young minds, big ideas.
Hello, Owen. Lovely to meet you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
And where do you go to school?
I go to Gems First Point School, The Villa.
And do you want to give a shout out to any of your favourite teachers or librarians?
Miss Farmer, my year six teacher.
And the most important question today, what books have you brought with you to tell us about?
I have bought the King Flashy Pants series by Andy Riley and Iron Man The Gauntlet by Ian Colfer.
Excellent.
I am a big fan of Owen Colfer, not only because his name is said the same way as yours, but also because he is hilarious. I saw him at the Lit Fest, I think it was 1 year ago and also 3 years ago. And the first time I saw him, I was sat next to a boy about your age, Owen, and he laughed so much at the stories that Owen Colfer was telling that he fell off his chair. And I thought that is quite a good kind of sign of how funny he was.
Really?
Yeah. So can you tell us anything that you know about Owen Colfer?
Before he was a writer, he was a teacher.
He was, yeah, primary school teacher. You often find that authors used to be teachers. I think they get used to kind of talking to people your age and have the right sort of mindset to write kids' books. Anything else that you know about him? Can you think of any... Do you know what books he's famous for writing?
Varjak Paar? No.
That's SF Saeed. Begins with an A. We talked about it the other day.
It was Artemis Fowl.
Brilliant. And there's supposed to be a movie. Have you heard about the movie that's going to be coming out about Artemis Fowl?
Yeah, I've heard about it on his website.
Very good. Did it tell you when it was coming out? I think it's 2019, I think.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting. And also, have you heard of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yeah, my dad has.
Does he? Is he a fan? They're brilliant, that series. And not everybody could have carried on with the series. And they chose Owen Colfer to write the last one, which just shows how funny his writing is. So, and what did you think of this book? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And here we have Owen Colfer himself telling us a little bit about The Gauntlet and where it sits in the Marvel Universe, about his love for making things fictionally explode, and just generally being marvellous. So over to Owen.
The new book is called Iron Man, The Gauntlet, and it is tells the story of Tony Stark's visit to Dublin, Ireland, and I reasoned with Disney and Marvel, there's not much point in me writing a book if I don't add Irish qualities to it. So, and also there was a building I didn't like in Dublin. I thought it would be very therapeutic to blow that up, even in a book.
Which building?
It is the convention centre, which I'm not very fond of. But it's fine. I think they're okay. I also blew up a bridge, which I really liked, the Samuel Beckett Bridge, because I thought it would look good in flames, which is probably not the healthiest feeling to have running around your brain. So I released it into the book. And so in the story, it's a pretty standard setup. Tony's appearing at an eco conference. He's going to be the guest speaker, but he gets literally hijacked along the way by his own artificial intelligence. I don't want to say any more because there's some twists in it. But I tried to put stuff in there for the people of my age who were Marvel fans back in the 70s. So I know maybe a few mums and dads will have a read of their kids' books, and I would like to think that there's a couple of one-liners and a couple of in-jokes in there for them. It's like the Simpson effect. Everybody can watch The Simpsons and everyone gets something different out of it. So I tried to include that in this one.
So there you have Owen Colfer talking about The Gauntlet, his Iron Man story set in Dublin in Ireland. And what he goes on to say after that is he says that this book is fine to read even if you're not fully aware of previous Iron Man stories and his place within the Marvel Universe. So have you seen any of the movies or read any of the comics?
No, because my dad doesn't let me yet.
Good parenting.
So do you feel like you were missing anything when you were reading this then?
Yeah, because I really, really want to know Iron Man's backstory and things like that.
You just really want your dad to let you read them. That's that's the way you're answering this question.
Your tactic to be allowed to watch Marvel movies.
Yes.
And what was your favourite bit of the book? Can you remember a bit that you thought was brilliant?
I don't want to give away a spoiler.
You can if you want to.
Okay. My favourite bit was when his AI, which stands for Artificial Intelligence, you found out that his AI was not actually an AI, but it was actually a human.
Yes, that was quite an exciting bit, but also a confusing bit. I don't know, did you find it confusing as well?
No,
because you're very clever. I found it confusing because you suddenly realise what a cunning trick she'd pulled on Tony Stark on Iron Man by pretending to be a robot beforehand.
The AI's name was Friday, but her real name was Saoirse.
Brilliantly pronounced. We had a whole thing in book club where nobody could say her name properly. It's one of those Irish names.
They looked like Sarah Rhodes, but it was actually Saoirse.
You got a round of applause there for saying it correctly. Good on you. And what was there anything later on when she'd become human that she did that made you think that she was a particularly good character? Can you remember why she tricked Tony Stark in the first place?
Because
why did she pretend to be an AI?
She met the Mandarin, who's the baddie in the story. He was disguised as Mr. Shen.
He was pretending to be a philanthropist and a very nice man, wasn't he?
Yeah, to help Saoirse thought that her sister was... She and her sister were helping orphanage, and Saoirse showed her that the orphanage had been overrun by a gang.
Correct.
And she was trying to save her sister.
She was. So there was a good reason why she did what she did, wasn't there?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, I mean, it's taken me about a week to... Only last week I realised it was actually pronounced Saoirse.
Oh, it took ages because it's Saoirse. Yeah, I can't even
say it. It says in the book.
Yeah, he does help you. Owen Colfer helps, I think, because he's so used to his name being pronounced incorrectly. But when we were talking about on Chesil Beach and Saoirse Ronan, I couldn't say her name correctly then. So I've been trained by Iron Man now in how to pronounce it.
Do you have any favourite quotations from the book or anything?
What are quotations?
Bits that you liked, the words that you liked.
Just give me a second.
Are you going to find some?
Yep.
Did you like it, Rachel?
I did like it. I liked it a lot. And I could see what Owen Colfer meant when he talked about the Simpsons effect. Because you can read it. I love kids' books anyway. So you can read it with that mentality, you know, and whiz through. But also there's a lots of kind of clever bits. And what I particularly liked about it was the way that in some books, in the fight scenes, you have, say, a child protagonist. And they could never possibly defeat the adult baddies. Whereas what you have in this, you have Saoirse, who's quite young, but she's very smart. And so you see clever ways in which she's defeating them. So you can see that brains are more important than brawn, which is good for me because I have no brawn whatsoever. Did you find anything that you like?
Nope.
You're not quite sure. You just remember sections of it.
Wait, there was a part in here that I really liked, but I can't remember the page it was on.
Oh, don't worry. We'll find it later.
Do you have any favourite characters from the book? Like, did you feel connected to any of them? Could you see yourself in their
shoes? I liked, what was his name, the Frenchman?
Is it Lefebvre? I'm terrible at names. Le something or other.
Yeah,
Le something.
And can you remember how they made him sound French? Can you remember how Owen Colfer...
Z?
Yeah, so instead of saying that, he would say zat. And it was just... And it was
very funny.
It was very funny because it made some of the things that he said particularly entertaining.
Funny.
And also, can you remember what Tony Stark said that he would do if he didn't start talking properly? Sorry, not Tony Stark, the Mandarin. What did he threaten?
It was... Saw his mouth shut.
He did. He said that if he didn't learn to speak properly, and did the French guy believe him?
Yes.
Yes, because the thing about having really violent, evil baddies that have done horrible things before is you actually believe their threats. Whereas if your mum said she'd do that to you, you probably wouldn't believe her, would you?
True.
We've already covered quite a lot, but there's one question that I know Rachel really wants to ask you about this.
There's a bit in the book where Tony Stark creates a model of himself, the proto-Tony. And so I was thinking, wonder what people would make their proto-person do. So if you had a proto-Owen, what would you get it to do for you? A clone of
yourself. First of all, I wouldn't call it the proto-Owen. I'd call it the proto-Owen.
Proto-Owen, nice. So it flows better. I like it.
I would make it do my homework because I really don't like doing my homework.
Excellent choice.
And if I didn't want to go to school one day, I'd send it into school instead of me.
See, the problem with that is you might really enjoy that, and then you might end up sending Proto in into school every day.
Maybe.
Annabelle, what would you do with Proto Annabelle?
I'm thinking along the same lines as Owen here. I'm thinking I get Proto Annabelle to do my work for me, and I'd go off and do all the fun things.
See, I'm almost the other way. I'd probably get Proto Rachel to go to all the social events that I don't really want to go
to. Well, I didn't say fun things were social things.
Because I'm so antisocial. So real Rachel would be at home watching telly on the sofa, while Proto Rachel goes out and wows the world with her charm and charisma.
I think all methods are valid.
Yes.
So who would you recommend this book to?
About people my age, which would be about 10 and above, maybe?
10 and above?
Yeah, because there are some complicated words in it.
Mm-hmm. And subject matter-wise, is it for somebody who likes kind of science fiction-y stuff and comic book stuff already, or could you recommend this to somebody who hasn't read comics before, who isn't familiar with Iron Man and Marvel superheroes?
I'd recommend it to the people about Iron Man and who don't know about Iron Man, but
okay.
Kind of know a little bit about him, but don't know much about him. Because this kind of explains a little bit more about him.
I'd agree. I think it's a good introduction to the character of Iron Man, because Owen Colfer obviously does one-liners very well and the kind of funny asides, doesn't he? There are bits that you really laugh. And so I think if you haven't met Iron Man in the movies or in the comics, then you kind of like the character, and I think you might be interested in dipping in and finding out a bit more about him, if your dad will let you.
Hopefully.
I'm very glad they let him do this and that they let him set it in Ireland, because Marvel's got very strict rules about these sorts of things. So I'm wondering whether it was a difficult battle or whether it was quite easy for him.
I think that it was probably a very easy win, because I know people that have written books within this kind of universe, and actually they try and recommend that you stay away from linking it too closely with the timeline. And so by taking Iron Man completely out of that universe and sticking him in Ireland...
Because if anything if it's in the United States, if anything happens, he has to call S.H.I.E.L.D. and he has to include Captain America and all that sort of
thing. Exactly. And also it's quite nice. I remember seeing an interview with Owen Colfer where he talked about how nice it was to put someone like Iron Man, who's used to the crowds cheering and who's very kind of full of himself, in Ireland, where even if the most famous person in the world visits, they're all like, oh,
no,
hello,
one cares.
Whatever. Nobody's particularly impressed by fame and glory. So, yeah, no, I think it's a good setting. Good choice.
So thank you, Owen, for talking about The Gauntlet, but we've got to move on to some other books that you've got in front of you now. What else are we going to talk about this morning?
Are we going to talk about... I'm not sure which one we're going to talk about.
We're
going to
let you talk about any one of them you like, Owen.
I think I'm going to go for the first King Flashy Pants.
Okay.
It's King Flashy Pants and the Evil Emperor.
And what's the name of the author?
The author's name is Andy Reilly.
So they have pretty amazing covers, I have to say.
They really
do. I was drawn in by them. Do you ever choose books just based on the cover?
Sometimes.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for covers that kind of want me to. As the second one, all I can see is the leg of the creature from Krong. So I want to figure out what rest of it looks like.
You like covers with a bit of mystery that make you want to open the book and find out more. Good answer. I like that. Very nice. And I didn't really know anything about Andy Reilly until I knew that we were going to be talking about this today. And I found out so many interesting things about him. Do you know anything about him?
I can't really remember.
Shall I tell you a few things that I know about him?
Yes, please.
Not only is he a kids' writer, he's also an Emmy-winning scriptwriter, a cartoonist, and a children's author. He's British. He's written a series of best-selling cartoon books. I don't know if anyone else has read them. The ones about the... hang on, let me remember the exact name. It's Lies You Tell to Small Children. I'm trying to get the exact title. Yeah. Great Lies to Tell Small Kids and Loads More Lies to Tell Small Kids. And it's this kind of really irreverent kind of book about lying to your children. And I don't see anything really wrong with that. And I thought they were hilarious. I did not realise that was him. He has also written TV adaptations for David Walliams movies, Gangster Granny and The Boy in the Dress.
Really?
Yep. He will be appearing on stage at the Literature Festival with David Walliams. Did you know about that?
I think so.
Yeah, that'll be quite exciting. And, but yeah, basically, very interesting man who can do very many things, all of them hilarious.
I think I'm going to see Andy Reilly and David Walliams.
Well, then I think you'll have a brilliant time, so you'll be very lucky and say thank you to your mum and dad.
We didn't mention Owen Colfer, who's the author of The Gauntlet, is also coming to the festival, but he's joining us via live video link, which seems appropriate for somebody talking about Iron Man and artificial
super
intelligence.
Maybe he'll say, send Proto-In across.
Maybe he will. So he is appearing at the Literature Festival just via live video link, so you can also catch Owen at the festival as well. But back to Andy Reilly. These books, so there's three of them in the series, so you're talking about...
The Evil Emperor one.
Did you like it, first of all?
Yes, it was amazing.
And what do you? Why was it amazing?
Because there's good illustrations that kind of explains what it does, and it is really funny at parts.
Do you have a favourite bit that you're going to read to us?
I can see a bit with a tissue tucked in it. Is that marking your favourite spot?
The picture of the good castle and evil castle. It really shows King Edwin's castle and the evil Emperor's castle.
I love that. It's this whole, the book works because it kind of mocks, it's a parody almost of kind of the typical good guy, bad guy. And so it shows the bit Owen's talking about is, can you describe the castle a little bit that good King Edwin, King Flashy Pants lives in?
It has nice colourful domes. I'm just reading the bits that it says. Water slides to get around.
Nice.
Balloon for balloon rides and a sun deck.
Brilliant. And can you tell us a bit about Emperor Nurbis and his castle?
There's a narrow path that leads over a bottomless pit. Has lots of sticky outy turrets, lots of vultures, lots of bats, and a scary looking bit on top.
It does have a scary looking bit on top.
That sounds about right.
I like it. And the other thing that he does is, can you remember, both Owen Colfer and Andy Reilly both mock the evil laugh of villains. So there's a bit in The Gauntlet where the Mandarin laughs, and Owen Colfer says he knew that a bad guy would laugh, so he laughed. And the scariest bit was not the laugh, it was the way he cut off and was completely cold afterwards. And then Andy Reilly, can you remember the bit about the evil emperor's laugh in
it
Andy
was,
Reilly?
His evil laugh was... Foo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
It's brilliant. Can you remember why he chose that as a laugh? He talks about how all the good evil laughs have been taken by other villains, so he can't have mwahaha. So he has to come up with something new, and the best thing he can come up with is foo-hoo-hoo-hoo, which isn't quite as impactful. It's brilliant.
And all his guards have to pretend that
it's
join
really
in and that it's really scary, but actually it's really quite silly.
Oh, it's great. I love it. Also, you talked about the illustrations, and Andy Reilly isn't just an author. He's also, I told you he can do everything. He's a cartoonist, and he's illustrated his own book. I'm just interested, because I know a lot of kids' books have separate writers and illustrators.
Yeah.
Do you have favourite illustrators in the same way that you would have a favourite author?
No.
Not
I
so much.
I have favourite authors, though.
Do you look, if you get a book and it's got illustrations in, do you look to see who did the illustrations?
Sometimes,
if they're particularly good.
I just look at the illustrations. I just flick through and look at the illustrations. And then I decide if I'd like to read the book or not.
Yes, I see people do that a lot. I see people do that when they pick up my book. They kind of flick through and I'm thinking, you're not looking at a word I've written. You're looking at whether you like the pictures and whether it looks interesting. And what do you think the illustrations do in a book? Do they help you follow the plot?
Yes.
They do. In what way?
Because sometimes you don't know what the things look like, and it's sometimes hard to explain, so you can draw them instead.
Brilliant, yes, because sometimes if you have a lot of descriptive stuff, it can slow the story down, can't it?
Yeah.
So perhaps the illustrations help that, that's good. And what about, do you find it good to have an image of the character in your head, or do you sometimes like to imagine your own?
Sometimes I like to imagine it, sometimes I like to know.
Okay, I like it.
Sometimes funny characters or funny writers are not accused of not giving their characters enough depth because they focus on the funny part, but then there's not much else there. Did you feel like you knew these characters? Did they feel like real people?
I felt like I knew the characters and they were kind of real people.
Which ones did you like best?
My favourite character from the whole thing would be Emperor Nurbison.
Nurbison, yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? What did you like about him so much?
Because he's really funny when he tries to be evil. In the first one, he tries to make a dragon, but there's no dragons.
Describe the dragon. I love this dragon. There's even a picture of it.
It's a cow with candles stuck on top of its nose, fake wings attached to its back, a sock on its tail, and it's wearing scary fluffy slippers.
That's brilliant, isn't it? And the whole of Edwin Land is terrified of this cow with candles on its head. And there's just one small girl, isn't there, going, but it's a cow! And nobody pays any attention.
And at the end of the book, everybody's like, it looked so convincing. Nobody told us that it wasn't a dragon. And there's this little girl going, I did!
It's brilliant. I love this book. It's really good. The other thing that's quite interesting about this book is that lots of stories... Little Natasha.
There we go.
Yes, she's the wise one, isn't she?
Yep.
And this carries on through the books, doesn't it?
Yep.
You often see that all of... Because they're all known as peasants and they live in their peasant hovels.
They're jolly.
Jolly peasants. But the only one that ever really sees things is Little Natasha, and nobody ever listens to her. They don't learn from book to listen.
One character we haven't talked about is King Flashy Pants himself. What's he like?
He's very kind.
That's not his real name, though, is it?
No, his name is King Edwin, but in the first book, Emperor Nurbison
I prefer your pronunciation.
King Flashy Pants, and then he changed his name to King Edwin Flashy Pants.
It's brilliant as well, because it's almost like this is how you deal with bullies. Would if they like... call you something, you own it.
Yes, so you've taking become ownership that thing. Of it.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something about his crown. It's a crown, and each point of his crown has a crown on it.
I like that as well. It's good, isn't it? And you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's...
Meta crown.
It's brilliant. When you're writing books for children, you're kind of not supposed to write anything too moral, because everyone says, oh, they're not going to like it. But at the end of each one of these books, you have the chapter called What We've All Learned or What We've Learned? Hang on, let me just double check.
We've All Learned.
What We've All Learned. What did you think of that chapter? Did you think it was a good thing, a good idea to have that at the end?
I'm just going to start that. It's chapter 12 in the first book.
Yes. And so do you think that's a good idea to have this? And why do you think that works?
Because it kind of tells you what they've learnt throughout the story.
And so it sums it all up
neatly.
Okay, that's good.
And what we've learnt today is that these are two brilliant authors, Andy Riley and Owen Colfer, are both appearing at the 2018 Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. And we've also learned that Owen Henderson is a brilliant young reviewer. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I don't know if you get the clap of...
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.